Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Kicking off the final hour of the show. I'm down here in Boise as Utah State will rematch against the Broncos coming up on Friday after a difficult loss last night. Hans, you are at Tim Daly Infinity just on State Street, about 4594 South State Street. Best showroom in the state of Utah. Beautiful vehicles, price to move, 0% financing. Great lease options, used vehicles. I mean, if you want to get to Infinity, they're going to help make it happen for you.
Yeah. Dallas is such a great guy, Scotty. He manages this showroom so perfectly. And there's not a lot of places you're going to go out and get a brand new Infinity. Man, this is the only dealership in the state of Utah. And it's, you know, really nicely located right here in Murray. So come down, say hi to me. As Scotty mentioned earlier, Johnny and I will both go dig into the van for you, find something to give you if you're interested in something. I'm sure we got something back there somewhere.
Or Johnny's over there like, what are you doing to me right now?
Johnny's like, please don't have people come down here. But it really is incredible. These and you always talk about this, Scotty. It's not what you think it would be to get into an Infiniti.
Yeah, no, trust me on that one. It's a they do such a tremendous job on that one, on those vehicles. And the great thing too is when you look at that Infiniti and you think the amount of comfort, the way that it drives. I mean, I always tell you about shutting a door. You can tell the quality of a vehicle by how it sounds when you shut the door. I mean, when you go into that showroom and you look at these vehicles, you are going to be blown away at the quality of them, and you're also going to be blown away by the price of them as well. They're a lot, far more inexpensive than you might think they are. So go down there. If nothing else, just go into the dealership, talk to the crew, and see what they can do for you to make sure that you can be in a vehicle that you're proud to drive and can be a part of for a long, long time. All right, earlier in the day, DJ and PK had a chance to chat with Joe Ingles. Joe comes on weekly. It's a great conversation. This one may have been even better than usual. And they start with Joe talking about what it's like in the locker room during this winning streak.
Yeah, it's nice to win, obviously. There's no better feeling, obviously, kind of, regardless of how you play individually or as a team, if you could figure out how to win at the end of the day, that's obviously the goal. So they're not all going to be pretty. We're not going to blow everyone out by 20 and just kind of cruise through the season. And I mean, I think every team's going to be somewhat different. They're going to play out differently. They're going to have different adversity that they're facing that it might make some other guys play harder or play more, which is different to what you're used to or whatever. So, last night we obviously, it was kind of like that team that Doc had that they didn't really have a quote unquote superstar, but they all played well together and they kind of had that little run in Doc's last year, second to last year, whatever it was. So that's kind of what it felt like. They were out there and obviously the ball moves a bit more because they don't have Kawhi and PG, and that's not taking anything away from those guys. But when they've got them out there, obviously they feed them, and Kawhi's great in those post-ups and stuff like that, and PG plays a lot of pick and roll. So it was a different challenge because we weren't sure if I think PG was always out, but Kawhi was kind of 50-50. So it was good to get another win. And the hard part is, we've done this twice this year. The hard part is honestly playing the same team again. It's hard to beat an NBA team once, let alone twice in a row. So we're assuming they'll get someone back or a couple of their guys back. It'll be a bit of a different game probably. But, yeah, we obviously have the same kind of mindset of just whoever's kind of out there, do what we do and like you said, hopefully get another win.
So, but as far as the no travel, do you like this opportunity to just be in one place and get two games out of it?
I mean, it's much nicer than having to jump on a plane last night and go somewhere else. We played the game. We were back at the hotel by 9:30 or whatever it was, and we're able to get some food. And it's still, I think a lot of guys, you still can't go right to sleep after the game or anything like that, but to just, yeah, just to be, walk up to your room and after seeing what Renee and the kids were doing in the snow yesterday and how high it was, the sun is out here and I was walking around in a t-shirt yesterday, so nice for that little change, but yeah, I'll be excited to go home too whenever we're done with this.
Joe Ingles joining us here on 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. Quinn got a question in his post-game Zoom about you and you playing your best basketball and why that might be, and he gave a long, detailed, thorough answer. And you hate talking about yourself, but you are playing well. And I think some people at 33 would expect a guy to kind of, plateau or taper off. How would you explain this if somebody asked you, how are you doing this?
Why are you kicking A, Joe? Let's get to the point.
That's not going to help him answer it.
There's still a chance I'm going to plateau and fall off. Now you guys have talked it into fruition, so that's probably going to happen. But No, I mean, I got the same question or a similar one about coach, why he's such a good coach. So we obviously had to answer a similar question. Obviously you guys and everyone that listened and watched us last year, I was a little bit uncomfortable coming off the bench last year, and I don't mean that in terms of not accepting that role or not wanting to do it, but I just didn't, especially at the start of the year, obviously. I just couldn't find a rhythm. I just couldn't get going. I couldn't find a rhythm. It was different. Again, I'm not saying I didn't want to do it or I was against it or anything like that. I hadn't done it for, I don't even know what it was, 3 or 4 years here and kind of every summer with the national team and other teams I'd been on. So it was really different for me. And then obviously with the last year was a bit of a mess kind of regardless that Mike got injured. So I started and then he came back and then the bubble happened and then Boyan was out. And so it was a bit of a mess, but, I'm just in a good spot, I guess. I've always loved playing. Obviously, that's no question with that. And that's 99.9 Quinn's, not his fault, but Quinn's reasoning. Because, I mean, before I got to Utah, as I've spoken about before, like I really wasn't enjoying playing basketball. It was my kind of last chance of, let's try and figure out if I can get back to this kind of love for it, and or I'll be back in the NBL in Australia. So he's obviously a big part of it, and I think having a pretty solid and amazing kind of support system at home with Renee and the kids, and the kids are great, and our new little guy Jack is doing really well, and obviously it's. Renee is doing really well. I think it's been really tough on her in terms of not being able to get home or have some family come over. Like no one's met our third child yet or anything, which it is hard. But just having all their support, and there's days I'm like, man, I should be doing more to help Renee, and she pushes me out the door to go and get shots up or get treatment. And I think just overall as a whole, and I mean, I don't want to say I'm having my best year or not or whatever the stats or numbers or anything say, but I'm in a really good spot. I'm happy. At the end of the day, it also helps when everyone in your team's playing well and you're moving the ball and you're playing a really cool style that fits your team. And everything's in a good spot.
So what do you anticipate happening to your game when Conley comes back?
I'll go to the bench. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, okay, you go to the bench, which I don't know that that's necessarily a guarantee, but if you want to go that way, how are you going to be able to maintain your productivity if that's what happens, you are coming off the bench?
I feel like I was playing pretty well and productive when he was playing too.
Right, I would agree.
I think the biggest and obvious difference, which difference, which people realize, is obviously I'll obviously have the ball a little bit less, which is fine by me. It's not a bad thing. And we'll figure it out again. I missed four games or whatever. Then Donovan missed a couple. Obviously Mike's missed kind of five or six, whatever it's been now. But we'll just figure it out. We've got a great team with that. I think when previous to Mike's injury, I would come off the bench, obviously, I think for him at the start, and then he would come back in and we'd finish the quarter together. And I mean, there's so many possessions in a game. I think the way we play and the style Quinn has us playing and the pace we're playing at, I mean, there's enough possessions for all of our guys that are creators or not need the ball, but are obviously effective with the ball in our hands. There's enough possessions for us all to kind of have it for a little bit. And again, the thing that is the best thing at the end of the day is that there is no egos. There is no, like, I want Mike to come back probably more than anyone. Like, I'm not trying to sitting in my hotel room hoping Mike's out another game so I can go and shoot some more threes and play a few more minutes. I want him back more than anyone, and when he gets back, we'll figure it out. But I have no doubt there will be no issues with it.
All right, let's get to some of the fun stuff. And I hear from people now all the time as they watch the games because they know we're going to talk to you once a week. So Ben Simmons comes out for Philadelphia, and he is hot, right? I mean, he got to 10 points like that. And there's a timeout, and you guys are crossing paths going to the bench, and he had something to say to you, and he had a little smirk and a grin. Maybe you had a little one. What was he just letting you have it? Was that an Australian thing right there?
I honestly can't even remember, which is bad, but it definitely wasn't anything bad. I mean, I've obviously known Ben for a little bit, and
sure.
I'm hoping he plays with the national team this summer and all that happens. So I'm obviously happy. I think the same as kind of what I was saying. I think he's in a really good spot. I think he kind of mentally, he always has these questions over why isn't he shooting the ball or not shooting the ball outside the paint or whatever. It's like, well, it's like Rudy to a certain extent. Like, why would you shoot outside the paint when you don't need to? Like, he, what do you have, 40? I think he had 42 or 44 or whatever it was. And someone showed us a shot chart after the game. It was like he took one shot outside of the paint for the game and had 42 points. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I think he's in a good spot, and I'm happy for him. And yeah, it was good to see him. He fouled me one time, but yeah, just a bit of talking with a with a buddy. And yeah, like I said, I hope he plays this summer and can actually play with him. It'd be fun to play with him.
So we have the Stockton shot to put the Jazz in the finals is the greatest shot. I think I witnessed the greatest play. O'Neal to Bogdanovich, Bogdanovich behind the back in midair. Mitchell, I've never seen a cross-court, corner-to-corner pass. Never. I've been watching ball longer than you've been alive, and I've never seen that. And so that ball's coming there. Well, in order for this to be the greatest play in Jazz history, you got to make the three, and you do. Did you think at that time, wow.
Was there any doubt?
That wasn't for me, but maybe for some doubters, and I'm not. I've always been your biggest fan. I mean, there's Renai and the kids, and then there's PK, and you put us all together. We're all in the same boat there. But I was just praying the one shot, because in order to have the best play, you got to make the shot. Any concern about that? Were you nervous at all?
No, I wasn't nervous. The whole thing happened so quickly. I was honestly just glad I got an extra shot up, to be honest. No, I mean it was a pretty crazy play, and
yeah,
I think the one of the funny parts about it is when whoever I think you said Royce drove first,
yeah,
something had obviously happened in that play. I was standing at the half court, like I was ready to. I guess I assumed either Royce was going to shoot it or Boyan or Donovan, someone was going to shoot it out of those
right.
three, and me and Rudy, I think it was. There was two of them. It was myself and someone else were standing at the half court, and I saw it all play out, and then I saw Donovan get it, and I was, obviously it happens in a split second. It doesn't happen this slowly. but in my head, I was like, oh, that, like, Brook Lopez is going to have to take me if I just, like, come into play a little bit. And then I didn't think he saw me, so I was like, oh, I'll get a bit further to the corner. Again, this obviously happens much quicker, but I ran to the corner, and I didn't know how much was on the shot clock, but I knew there wasn't much on the shot clock because I've obviously what had happened. Like, I think I might have had the ball to start. There's something happened before Royce got it, and then Royce, and then Boyan and Donovan, he held it. I was like, oh, I'm just going to run to the corner and see if Donovan can make a pass. If not, he's probably going to shoot it, and off the run back. So, yeah, it just kind of happened the way it happened, and I just knew when he threw it that I don't know exactly what the time was, but I just was assuming and pretty confident in my mind I had to shoot it. So it makes it a lot easier to not have to think about it when you know in your mind the shot clock's down and you have to shoot it anyway. So it was a hell of a pass, though. I've never seen.
It was.
I mean, I've played a lot. I've played a lot of games. I've played with some pretty good passes. I've played with some great point guards, great passes, but I've never had. It went like almost over the hoop to get to me for me to then shoot it into the hoop.
That was a pretty good post-game riff you had, though, on him and playing baseball and your little impersonation of him. That was rock solid. Had you been working on that on the team bus?
Well,
had you worn him out with that before?
This whole baseball thing is, we've actually got a, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about gambling. We've got a bet that he thinks he is this like, the guy that just signed for, what did he sign for yesterday? $350 million. Is he a pitcher?
Oh, the Padres.
Yeah, Fernando Tatis Jr., shortstop. Yeah.
Well, whoever the best pitcher in the world that gets a lot of money, he thinks he's him. And I've never played baseball in my life. I've played cricket, which is kind of similar to a certain extent. The batter stands there. You stand in a different position. The bat's a bit different, but someone throws the ball as fast as they can at you, and you've got to hit it. And I played that growing up, and I don't know how it came up, but he constantly talks about how good he is at baseball, or good he was at baseball. And I was like, I would 100% be able to hit one of your, what do you call it, a pitch? One of your
fastball.
Pitches. A fastball, yeah. And he's like, no, you wouldn't. I said, well, let's bet. Let's put some money on it. And the money, we said we would do it for a charity, which obviously you guys know where my money would go if I won.
Yeah. Autism.
So the bet or whatever was he had 10 pitches and I had to connect on one of them. That was I just had to touch it on one of them. It had to stay in play, but it has to, whatever you call it, not a
foul
if
ball.
It goes behind me or whatever. Yep, yeah, not that, but I have to basically hit. I don't even have to hit it really. It just has to hit the bat and fall in front of me.
So we're going to do this?
We just haven't had time. And it started in, I'm pretty sure it started in the bubble, or just after the bubble. So it's obviously been a long time coming, but we had COVID and we couldn't see each other and he was in New York and whatever. So that's kind of the whole baseball backstory for, I know it's a little bit of a long story about
it,
but that's how
good.
It kind of came about. And it was for a lot of money. And I just don't like, I'm not like you two. Like, I've played sport my whole life. Like, I'm going to be able to, he said he can throw it really fast or whatever. Like, I get, I'll probably miss a lot of them, but I'm also not that uncoordinated that I'm going to be able to read the, like, if he's throwing 10 in a row, I'm going to be able to read when the ball's coming and when I should swing. And
timing is what
I
they
literally
say
have
in the
to
game.
Just hit the ball in front of me one time. And I don't even have to hit it. It really just has to hit the bat.
Well, let's get it out at the ballpark after you guys win the title in July, man. We can have this all set up.
We will. We're definitely going to do it because we've shook on it, and it's a, and everybody at the start was on Donovan's side. Like, there's no way you'll hit it. And then I was, like, explaining the facts of it, of, like, literally, I could watch the first three go by and then go like, all right, this is when I need to swing. This is when, you know what I mean? Like, after if he's throwing 10 in a row, after the first few, I've played sport my whole life. I'm going to be able to pick up the reaction time of when I need a swing. I'm not saying I'm going to smack him for a home run and run around the triangle thing with my shirt off.
Bases.
It's a diamond. It's not a triangle whatever thing.
Run around the sand pit with my... but I'm also, like, extremely confident, which is why we bet quite a large number that... and then we thought we'd just do it for charity. We don't want to take each other's money, so... Whoever lost had to donate to the other person's charity of choice.
There might be some Jazz fans who do a little side action to, you know, raise a little more money for autism.
Yeah,
I assume Donovan would do some kind of education thing. Oh, absolutely.
I'll put a 10 spot on that he blows 10 fastballs right past
Eagles. We got to know more about the rules, PK, because
I have to hear. One time, I have to connect with the ball on the bat one time.
But can he throw you?
But
can he throw you curveballs and changeups and sliders, whatever he's got? Because
he said he was going to throw like a fast, like his pitch or whatever it was, which was just a fastball.
Okay. Yeah.
That will make it easier.
The other thing with throwing 10 straight is by like 6, 7, 8, 9, he's going to get tired. He doesn't play baseball for a living. Like
neither do you.
But he's. I'm just standing there with a.
Hey!
It makes me mad because he thinks I can't do it. I'm just standing there with a bat. Like all I have to do is connect one time.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome!
Go on, Jake.
Oh, he did. Jake hit the dump button. Jake was enjoying the conversation so much he was going to watch that fastball sail right by him. I had to signal dump button. That's the magic word. That's why we have a dump button. Oh my gosh! All right, I'm already getting texts from people who say there's zero chance this money's going to charity. So
it's going to charity regardless. It's whose charity?
All right.
That's what everyone in the locker room was saying at the start. No way, no way, no way. But then, like, if you actually sit down and, like, think about it, there's no way. And obviously I'm going to go and, like, hit a couple balls before I go. I'm not just going to roll in there never facing a pitch in my life and just going... And he's going to go on practice. He's going to roll in there. And so it has to be 10.
Yeah, you'll take some what's called BP.
Batting practice.
Yeah.
There's batting cages. But you can for a couple of bucks.
Underneath
you
the stands.
Yeah, you can hit a lot of.
Oh, you can go under the stands at the ballpark.
Yep.
They'll
hook him up.
Play.
You're right. Yeah.
I've thrown him
I'm going to get our best player's cricket bat and go and hit the ball.
There it is.
But that was the only rules. Guys, okay. I had to get one ball in front of me, like connect. It has to be a live ball or whatever. And
A fair ball.
One out of 10. That's it. One out of 10. Like, I'm not that bad. I know I can't run and jump and all that, but I can stand there and hit a ball.
Got to see this.
All right. Well, we love having you on, Joe, because we never know where the conversation is going. And I had no idea it was going here, but this has been awesome. I'm glad you woke up. Good luck with the game in LA.
Do you think I could hit it or no?
Yeah, I think you probably can. Not knowing how many pitches he can throw and whether he can start feeding you curveballs and all that, that would drop your odds.
Just gas. He's throwing gas.
Yeah, he's just throwing gas. I think you're right. I think you'll be able to time a pitch and be able to dribble one, you know, back towards the mound.
Even if it hits the bat and then hits my toe, it doesn't matter. It's still.
Oh, man.
All right. My foot is going to blow up now. Excuse my language, young friends out there, too. I got a bit excited about this.
Have a great bleeping day, Joe.
How great was that?
That's good, man. Joe is classic. We're lucky to have him here in the market. I cannot wait to see those two on the triangle together and throwing live balls. And I can't remember the other terms that he used, but man. So Scotty, you were telling me there's a show about a guy that had never played soccer, knows nothing about it, and goes and takes over as a soccer coach.
Yeah, Ted Lasso on Apple TV. I think you would actually like it.
I'm going to give it a try because after listening to Joe talk about baseball, the thought of him like coming in and trying to coach baseball is just hilarious. He didn't know a single term. Not a single term.
I know, right? That's what I was saying. Like, you really got a good sense very quickly how little Joe Ingles knows about baseball. But I love the fact, look, Joe is normally the calm, cool, collected dude. But you can tell, like, the competitive juices with people out there and those guys in his locker room saying, no way you can do this. And he's like, oh, I can do this. I don't have to hit a home run. Don't need to hit some massive, massive hit to the outfield. All I got to do is just keep it in play. And you could tell he was a little angry at people saying, look, I'm an athlete, you morons. I can figure this out. I can get one. Hmm.
It's never that easy. It's one thing being an athlete, and I get it. You could be an athlete, and you can be very good at a lot of things, but there's something unique about hitting a baseball. It is extremely difficult when it's coming at that speed.
Oh, I think it's the hardest thing. I think it is the hardest thing to do in all of sports is to hit a fastball. Like, I totally
I
agree with you on that. I just think that all he's got to do is get contact. Even if that thing drops at his feet, as long as it's forward, that's fine. And he can bunt. I mean, there's a lot of different things he can do to get contact.
I think it's the hardest technical thing to do because I think trying to put like a 145-pound average size man in front of Michael Strahan Jason Pierre-Paul and say, hey, block this guy. Like, that's a complete physical inability. But I'm talking about everybody can pick up a bat and everybody can stare down a 92-mile-per-hour ball. And I'll bet .001 can actually connect. Like, it is such a difficult skill. Now, you're right, Scotty. He could get absolutely lucky. He could try to bunt. He might connect with something. But it's 10 pitches. They all have to be strikes from what I understand. I just want to see it because I don't think that he can keep one in play. And like he said, what did he call it? He called a foul ball something.
A live ball?
Live ball.
Got to hit a live ball.
And then run around the sand trap.
Run around the triangle.
Oh, man. That was brilliant. Do you think he was doing that on purpose, or do you think he really just has no clue about baseball?
I don't think he knows anything about baseball. Like, I mean, the guy grew up in Australia. They don't play – I don't think they play a lot of baseball down there.
So what do you call that when he throws it at you? That's a pitch. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so he's got a – it's like, wow.
I think he even said, I can make contact, it can hit my foot, and it's still in play. I'm like, no, that's actually a foul ball, essentially. That's actually, you can't do that, Joe.
That's out of play.
Out of play.
That is a non-live ball.
And all you get for that is possibly a broken toe.
Yeah, I think the only thing, if this gets back to Quinn and Dennis, which I'm sure it will very quickly, that they're like, okay, you guys can have all the fun you want, but the season's over. At that point, like we're not doing this in the middle of a playoff run.
No.
Imagine like if Mitchell throws out, tears a rotator cuff because he wants to put a little heat on it,
or hits Joe in the side of the face, breaks an orbital bone. Like, there's some things that could go really wrong, really bad. Like, yeah, put a guy on the sideline for a bit. That's definitely a postseason event. But I do guarantee you, if you put Joe Ingles at home plate with a bat in his hand and put Donovan Mitchell with 10 balls on a mound, you're going to pack the place, you're going to get millions of dollars for charity, and everybody's going to come in and have a blast. Like, that would be an amazing time.
Lloyd brought up, what if Joe tries to bunt and Donovan kind of brushes him back? And Tyler tweets in, he goes, does Joe's and Donovan's relationship become unsalvageable after Donovan brushes Joe back for crowding the plate? Interesting question.
Well, there's already so many unsalvageable relationships on that team.
That's a follow-up for that baseball talk, by the way. That's a follow-up for DJ and PK. They do need to bring that up.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Hans and Scotty here on the Zone Sports Network. It's Total Recall, taking a look back at some of the big moments of today's show right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Radio voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke.
Quinn made this comment about Royce O'Neal's in his second year as a starter and his second year as a defensive stopper, and he's really learned from both those. Playing as a starter is different, so he's learning how to be the fifth best offensive player on the floor. There's a role to that because you're defended differently, and what are you going to do? And so he's begun to understand how to do that. And he's now guarding Jason Tatum for the third time, Giannis for the third time, Jimmy Butler for the third time. And you just get better at it. You learn their tendencies. You know what they're doing. Royce's evolution and improvement this year is a real story. Our fan base sure loves awards. Like, if Jordan wins sixth man, we might put a statue next to Stockton and Malone. Well, shouldn't Royce be up for most improved?
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. The big interview. Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans. Recall. It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show. Recall. It's Total Recall with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall.
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Oh, man, there's so many things I want to say on the radio right now. Nope.
Not political, right?
No.
Okay.
No. Maybe a little bit.
You've got open space, buddy. Go ahead.
No.
Open mic.
No, probably not for the best. Like, I don't want to get us in another email because of something I did. I want it something that PK did. I don't want to be the reason for it.
Something that Joe Ingles did.
So I was here in Boise, and I had the headset on. I was listening to the interview, and so I heard it live. And so I didn't get the feed from Jake that Jake, you know, dumped it. So I heard him drop the bomb, and I was like, whoa, you haven't heard that in a while.
It makes you clinch up a bit.
There was a light delay on that because I actually walked in here, and he hit the dump button like seven times, and I said, well, you don't have any more delay. So I went and checked it. It had 0.7 on the delay left.
Wow.
So I was like, you may want to make sure he doesn't say anything now because you don't have any dump left, bud. It's gone.
How long does it take for it to build back up?
It takes a minute to ramp back up.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's something you need to be talking about on the air because, well, I guess we don't have a lot of people calling in these days, but
yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, when somebody drops a bomb, it takes a while for that dump button to kind of build back up, that little bit of 7 or 9 seconds. So, yeah. All right, time for Total Recall, looking back at some of the big moments of today's show. Let's talk about some BYU basketball. Greg Wrubell joined us earlier in the show, play-by-play voice of the BYU Cougars, and you asked him about a West Coast Conference tournament and what that might look like, and if BYU might be involved.
Personally, I think it would benefit BYU to get into that setting, and I don't know that they have the same exact perspective right now as Gonzaga does on conference tournament participation. But you know, I'm the kind of guy that you know, likes things as normal as they can be, and I realize you're not going to have that this year. And I know certain teams have good reasons for thinking the way they do. But I don't know. And you know what? The position might change based on what, you know, occurs over the next 2 weeks in terms of which games are won and lost relative to, you know, BYU's perspective considering that. But, you know, right now, I guess I would say I'd be leaning toward BYU getting into that setting.
Well, certainly always a pleasure to catch up with you, Greg. Thanks for your time, and look forward to catch up to getting here very, very soon.
Yeah. Where are you, by the way, Scotty? Did you go to Boise last night, or what was the deal there?
Yeah, I am in Boise. Okay. Got here yesterday, and then we'll be here through Friday. So, yeah, good times.
Okay. Yeah, so you're up there, and you're going to be there through Friday night. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on real quick. I know this is your interview, not mine.
No, you're all good.
when I left for practice last night, it was about a two-point game, maybe 10 minutes to go up at Boise State. And, you know, I mean, Kata clearly went off. Didn't have Raleigh, is that right?
Yeah, Raleigh Wooster was out, and Brock Miller's really banged up as well, so he was a little bit limited.
So Boise takes a bit of a lead in the race for the conference crown with that win last night, right?
Yeah, you've got four teams, Colorado State, Utah State, San Diego State, now Boise State, all with three losses. So it's going to be a crazy end of the regular season for sure.
Might come down to win percentages and all that other kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And because all of them, you know, same thing like the West Coast Conference. Nobody's played the same amount of games. Nobody's right. played the same opponents. It's a mess.
Well, so I know the BYU fans always have an eye on Utah State and Boise State because they played them both, lost to one, beat one. And so, I don't know what last night's result really means relative to BYU, but I know that, both teams help BYU strength of schedule no matter the outcome. And so I've been keeping an eye on the Aggs, certainly that way, all season.
Oh, man, there's some jabs in that. I don't care what you say. There's some jabs, man. Well, it might come down to winning percentage, and of course BYU fans are paying close attention because they beat one of those teams and lost to one of those teams. So, obviously, they're paying close attention.
Utah State couldn't beat that team, huh?
Well, BYU lost to them at home, so, I mean.
I love how he stopped you, too, and he's like, hey, hold on. So, how'd it go last night? Last I tuned out, you guys were ahead. Did you finish up winning that, or?
Greg Rubel is one of the nicest human. I can't imagine there was any kind of salt being poured in the wound there.
Yeah, I think it was because then he kept going. He's like, so what's happened? You guys are all falling apart. Everybody's injured.
Everybody's hurt. Wooster's out.
Oh, man. I can't imagine it coming from Greg Rubel because he is one of the nicest guys. But
like I said, and I love Mark Durant, but I could see it coming from Mark, and it would be all in good fun. I just don't see that coming from Greg.
I don't know, though, way he stopped you. Hey, Scotty, hold on. So where are you?
Hold on. I'm not done yet.
I got more to say.
Oh, so tell me, explain to me, how did you guys end up losing that? What happened? It's like, oh, man, we were closing the interview. And he's like, hold up. So kind of relive that pain from last night. How did that go?
It's like, hey, so Greg, well, maybe he's a little salty because you did, you brought up the Coastal Carolina game and you could tell there's some wounds there. And
yeah,
maybe he wanted to lash.
By the way, Scotty, did you go to Boise last night or what was the deal there?
Yeah, I
what
am
was
in Boise.
The deal there?
Got here yesterday and then we'll be here through Friday. So, yeah, good times.
Okay. Yeah, so you're up there and you're going to be there through Friday night. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on Brooklyn.
Okay, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's not
you're
good.
Right. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, so what's the deal there? All right, so you're going to be there Friday and take another loss, huh? Or, well, yeah. Are you going to play or what?
Where are you, by the way, Scotty? Did you go to Boise last night or what was the deal there?
Did the team show up?
Where do you think I am,
or?
Greg?
Oh, I love Greg.
Did they just decide not to show up? Are you the only one on Boise?
So you were there. Was your team there? This is a bigger question.
Oh, you know what makes it funny is Greg is truly one of the nicest men I know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny that he just took that as a chance to punch you. Really.
Got here yesterday, and then we'll be here through Friday.
Oh, boy. Oh, well done, Greg. Well done. You came in, you threw a couple of punches we didn't even know.
Yeah, so you're up there and you're going to be there through Friday night. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on real quick. I know this is your interview, not mine.
No, you're all good.
When I left for practice last night, it was about a two-point game.
It's like Greg Rubel's like, I'm the interviewer now.
You're on Greg Talk now.
So Scotty, I saw you filed a bankruptcy. Was it 2007? kind of walk me through like what happened in that year.
So you didn't call Lightstream, is what you're saying, huh? Things got away from you a little bit.
So Scotty, you were arrested when you were 18. What exactly happened there in that given year? Was that?
I know you haven't talked about it. So this is your second marriage, is that right?
Oh, man, it's so good because it was so overt. Like, I didn't see it coming until after the interview, and I'm like, that was a total drive-by.
Well, it was so good that I
don't know what last night's result really means relative to BYU.
It's so good that I still don't believe it happened. Like, I still can't fathom that he would do something like that.
BYU fans are paying close attention to Boise State and Utah State because obviously, you know, they beat one and lost the other. And it might come down to winning percentages, I guess, right, to be able to.
No. Not Greg. Greg wouldn't
Greg
do this.
Trolled you.
He trolled him.
He trolled you, man.
He got all of us.
He got life. You.
He got all
he
of
did.
Us.
He did, totally. Oh, Greg's really interested in Utah State. Oh,
hey, look, this isn't the first time we should have cut off an interview before it got going. This is on you, Lloyd. As okay. soon as he's, hold up. So what's happening in Boise State? What happened there? It should have been like, all right, Greg, we're done. We'll see you.
I thought maybe he was like,
where are you, by the way? did you go to Boise last night, or what was the deal there?
Man, the more you play it, the worse it sounds.
Oh, man. Oh, I love doing this show. I love it. I leave with a sidekick every day.
You're never sure what's going to happen. Day to day, something new happens.
I just never saw it coming. You would never think Greg Bell is going to come in and just like completely halt the interview and be like, no, we're not done yet. Where are you? Did you go to Boise?
Where are you? How did that turn out?
Well, anyways, man, love doing this show.
Oh, boy. All right. Hans and Scotty, we'll wrap things up, get you ready for the big show straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Yeah. Where are you, by the way, Scotty? Did you go to Boise last night, or what was the deal there?
Yeah, I am in Boise. Got here yesterday, and then we'll be here through Friday. So, yeah, good times.
Yeah, so you're up there, and you're going to be there through Friday night.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Donovan constantly talks about how good he is at baseball. And I was like, I would 100% be able to hit one of your, what do you call it, a pitch? One of your
fastball.
Pitches? Fastball, yeah. And he's like, no, you wouldn't. I said, well, let's bet. And the bet was he had 10 pitches and I had to connect on one of them. I'm not saying I'm going to smack him for a home run and run around the triangle thing with my shirt off.
Bases.
It's a diamond. It's not a triangle
whatever
it is, thing.
Run around the sand pit. The other thing with throwing 10 straight is he's going to get tired. He doesn't play baseball for a living.
Neither do you.
But I'm just standing there with a
Hey!
1 out of 10. That's it. 1. I know I can't run and jump and all that, but I can stand there and hit a ball.
Have a great bleeping day, Joe.
Joe Bleeping Ingles has joined us here on 97.5 and 1280 The Bleeping Zone.
Oh, yeah!
Catch jazz man Joe Ingles with DJ and PK on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I know the BYU fans, you know, BYU fans always have an eye on Utah State and Boise State because they played them both, lost to one, beat one. And so.
It's such a good troll job that I still don't even know if I got trolled or not.
Me neither. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm about 90% sure that he trolled us.
Boy, that's Greg Wrubell, one of the best dudes on the planet, who may have got in some good jabs there without me or you or any. Well, you kind of caught on there at the end because you asked there at the end, like, hey, did he just come at you a little bit? Like, I just don't think Greg's that kind of guy.
He went up a notch in my book.
Oh, yeah. No. If
like
he,
that's,
in fact,
that's,
did.
That's awesome.
Our respect level for him has increased, and it's already at a very high level with Greg.
Scotty, so I'm building a poll question for Joe Ingles and Donovan Mitchell on the pitch.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. Help me word this. I said, do you believe that Utah Jazz guard Joe Ingles could hit one of 10 pitches from Utah Jazz guard Donovan Mitchell? And then I put a couple of different information on it. Joe Ingles thought it was called a baseball triangle. Joe has never played baseball, and Donovan was scouted by the majors. Joe has played a little cricket. Is that all fair?
Wait a minute. So those are your options?
No. The options are yes or no.
Because I thought those four things confusing. Were like...
No. That was just some information behind the...
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
The option is just...
I think when you say he called it the triangle, you're trying to skew people to the Donovan Mitchell side. Okay. I would say just present the facts.
Okay. I'm going to...
That Joe played cricket, has not played baseball, and Donovan Mitchell was scouted and did... I don't know if he got drafted or not. I don't know his baseball history.
Joe has never played baseball, and Donovan was scouted by the majors.
I think it's important to put in there that he did play cricket.
I did. Joe has played a little cricket. Oh, and I do need to specify the hit has to stay in play.
Yeah. All he has to do is keep it in play.
Stay in play. Period. Okay. I'm going to put out this poll question. Here it is. Do you believe Utah Jazz guard Joe Ingles could hit one of 10 pitches from Utah Jazz guard Donovan Mitchell? The hit must stay in play. Joe has never played baseball, and Donovan was scouted by the majors. Joe has played a little cricket. And it's just a yes or a no. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
Okay. Lloyd, who do you think is going to win this poll?
Am I the poll expert? I think Donovan will win.
Yeah, I think Donovan's going to win too. Because Donovan's,
I'm so back and forth on it, but I think Donovan will win.
All right, I tweeted that out.
Hey, Lloyd, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Donovan Mitchell, I just Googled Donovan Mitchell baseball. His dad's not Donovan either, named either, is he? He's not a Donovan II or anything like that.
I don't think so, no.
Because there's a Donovan Mitchell who played second baseman, was around the AAA, would have been old enough to be Donovan's dad, but I don't think that's him.
Donovan Mitchell Sr.
It is, huh?
There's a Donovan Mitchell Sr., yes.
Okay, and so he floated around the I don't think he ever broke into the majors, but he floated around the minors from 92 to 99. And I know his dad works for the Mets, so in their front office. So I don't know if that's the same guy. So you got a little genetics working in your favor too.
You are right. Yeah, you're right, Scotty. I'm trying to find some of the scouting background of his being scouted by the majors. I know that he was a baseball talent. But I don't know if he was necessarily a pitcher.
I don't know. All right, that wraps it up for us. Hey, by the way, big thanks to Tim Daly Infinity. Hands, you've been out there throughout the course of the show today. Beautiful showroom, great staff, ready to help you find the car of your dreams. And we talk about an Infinity, that is the car of your dreams. And you're thinking, well, it may just remain in my dreams because there's no way I could afford that. Not so fast on that one. Go down and talk to the guys. They've got 0% financing available, lease options, a really tremendous used inventory as well, all up for grabs. Get down there, check it out, 4594 South State Street. It is Tim Daly Infinity right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Be back with you tomorrow for a Friday edition. Big show coming up next. Coming right into your right through the airwaves like a white Bronco.
Oh, jeez.
Barrel.
Oh, don't take me back to that time. I was right in the middle of the whole thing, and it was horrible, miserable.
This is the Zone Sports Network.